There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Tuesday, and lots to do with the next couple of hours. Quick reminder, or a first time, if you're a first time listener, how to get in touch with us. We make it, I think, pretty easy. A good old fashioned telephone call at 343-0106. Also, same number for the text line, 251-343-0106. The FM Talk 106.5 app. It's like a... It's like one of those puppies in the commercials you see about adopting animals, and you go, oh my gosh, look, I got to have that puppy. It's looking at you just like that. It's in the in Google Play, if you're an Android user, or the App Store, if you use iOS. It's sitting there. It's named FM Talk 106.5. You'll see our logo if you search it. It's free. You stream the station on there. It gives you access to all our social media feeds with breaking news, show schedules on there, also traffic maps, weather information, all that good stuff. Our podcast posts there first before anywhere else through the app. And so you can get them and listen to them right there and share them from there and do all that good stuff. But in addition, on the bottom of the main screen there, there's a microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record a message and emails it here to the show, and I can play it back on the show. All right, so a lot to do on today's show. Later on in the show, we will take a look again at the situation in Iran. We were going to talk about yesterday. I kind of ran out of time. We'll get to that story. Also coming up, April Marie Fogle joins us in the second hour. And I'm going to talk about Juneteenth. State holiday in Alabama this year. That discussion comes up every year. I think Governor Ivey, since she's been in office, has brought that up. And we'll do my favorite thing, where we look through the state holidays as they are and what might be added to the mix, and get a conversation going on that. Oh, and you know, I'll bring our next guest on here, too, to have reaction to this. AL2 candidate in the general, Republican candidate, Carolyn Dobson, joining us. And good to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. Here's what I'm about to unveil. So the news story running today that South Korea is banning what they call a viral North Korean propaganda video. This is what, like, I think NBC reported it that way. It's viral because it's ridiculously funny. Like all the stuff that comes out of North Korea, like we're so great and here's all our missiles. This one, they're all cheering and singing a song about their great leader and how fantastic, fantastic Un is. But South Korea's banned it because I think they think it's going to turn the minds of the people in South Korea to want to, I guess, defect to North Korea. Yeah. So there you go. There's international news as it stands. They're banning the viral Kim Jong-un video.
Yeah, I can't imagine that has gained much credibility or following, but, I could be wrong.
Yeah, so it's out there, certainly. So be prepared, right, in realpolitik for the viral video from Kim Jong-un. All right, well, good to talk to you. It's been a while. I know that from watching social media and listening to stories, you have not, there's no moss growing on that rock. You have been busy campaigning in AL2.
Yes, that's right. I've made a quick jaunt up to Washington, D.C., and Senator Britt, along with the Alabama Republican delegation, very kindly hosted a reception, to get folks nationally engaged about this race, because, again, I think the mainstream media back last fall was just so quick to categorize this as a blue seat. So actually, it's now being characterized by Republicans as a pickup, even though it is an existing, District 2 is a Republican seat, just because, again, the original narrative had been that this was unquestionably going to be won by Democrats. So nationally, I think Republicans are really excited about, the likelihood of keeping this seat Republican, and I'm doing all I can on the ground to make that happen. Last week was particularly special, National Police Week, so got to meet with several members of our law enforcement. One of the most touching experiences of the week was I got to participate in a law enforcement appreciation dinner in Troy that just started organically over a decade ago, I think in someone's barn, and now has expanded. I mean, there are almost 400 people there, but the community comes together just to tell law enforcement and first responders. So everyone from Troy Police, Sheriff's Office, State Troopers, firefighters, just tell them thank you. It was truly, truly amazing and just an example of private citizens coming together to thank those who keep us safe and those who often have a thankless job, especially in this day and age.
Let me ask this question. Being up at Washington and realizing that this is a seat, weird to say, in play, because, of course, the old AL2 was Republican, but the new AL2 in play, not that blue seat. I know that there's going to be a lot of outside influence and money coming in on the side of your opponent, the Democrat, figures in this. What are you hearing from when you go up there? Are they ready to come to AL2 and support you? I mean, beyond just the grassroots people?
Yes, yes. Now, they're very excited about this race and excited about our momentum, too. You know, the fact that we have a very well-organized, effective, energized state party, that's also huge. And the fact that this is really one of the few, I mean, certainly on the county levels, there are some contested general election races, and those are incredibly important. And our campaign is working. We want to join forces because, again, I think it's going to take all of us to get voters registered and get them motivated. But as far as, you know, statewide races, there really aren't that many contested general election races in the state. So I'm very, very grateful to have had wonderful discussions with Chairman Wall and his team. But again, you know, there are several factors, pointing to why not only the RNC and the NRCC, but Republicans nationally should be looking at this race. We've got incredible momentum, and again, kind of have the full force of the state party that's going to be really focused on this district. And I've been so humbled by folks from Huntsville down to Baldwin County, folks outside the district that want to come door knock and sign wave and get folks registered. So there's going to be a lot of statewide attention and, you know, folks that want to volunteer and have the experience of working in a contested race have it in this district. And it's not going to be kind of sharing forces or resources with any other, federal race this cycle. Also, what's really attractive, I think, to the RNC and NRCC is the fact that this is a relatively inexpensive media market. You know, when it comes to me, I mean, it all seems really expensive, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the other swing House races are in California or Pennsylvania, where a week of TV is upwards of $2 million, whereas here in District 2, a week of TV in Mobile is $120,000, Montgomery at $40,000. National monies go a lot further here in this district.
And we can give you a lot more radio for $120,000. So
right, exactly. No, exactly. Yeah, no, just using one medium as an indicator. But the National Party is really excited about this race. We've had a lot of positive meetings. They have said that another one of their metrics for how involved they get is how much the candidate can raise in state before the end of the second quarter. So that's also a focus of mine over the next 6 weeks is just to try to kind of circle the wagons. And, folks have been so gracious and generous. So much of this district is small towns and rural communities. We don't have like huge metro area. I mean, Mobile is certainly a large metro area, but still, we don't have Birmingham or Huntsville. I've been very grateful for the support I've received and trying to keep at it. That's the least fun part of campaigning.
Yep.
But trying to have a really strong second quarter report so that the RNC will really jump in with both feet in this race.
How does it work? I don't know if you can tell us, but I like to pull back the curtain. How much, you said about the fundraising done in district, is it a match? Is it a percentage? Is it, or you just have to cross a threshold, then they think about bringing outside money in? Or how do they do that?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think a lot of it depends, you know, certainly they aren't, you know, again, for instance, Kevin McCarthy's seat that's now open. I mean, you know, it's all relative to the district and kind of what the population demographics are. So I'm not expected to necessarily raise as much as, I don't think it's a set number, but okay. Just going, you know, kind of what I can bring in. And again, as you know, and as you know, a lot of your listeners know, in federal races, it's very limited to, as far as how much an individual can give to a campaign. So it really is a grassroots effort. It's large donations, but also small donations. And so again, I think, you know, just showing not only the overall number, but the as far as the dollar figure, but also the number of individuals who have given is also indicative of the support that I have. And then that will further signal to the RNC and NRCC that I do have widespread support. Folks in state are watching this race. We are encouraged and energized, and we are fighting to keep this seat Republican.
Okay, so they're trying to make a decision. Is this a worthwhile candidate to back? I mean, that's a fair,
exactly.
Okay, that's
exactly.
a fair thing for them to look at. And the other part of it, I've seen this in the past. It's not been, I think, in congressional, but other elections, when I've seen forces from outside Alabama come to bear, they kind of, not in all cases, in some cases have tried to change the message, you know, like even on the conservative mm-hmm. side, I hear it and it hits about 70%, not 100%. I mean, do you get that from them? Or are they saying, hey, keep doing what you're doing? Or what do you hear when they come in and say, hey, we're going to come in, this is real important to us, but you should be talking about X?
You know, fortunately, I haven't had any of that, attempt to kind of change the narrative. And I think part of that, too, is just kind of the uniqueness of this district. You know, we have a very strong defense presence in this district. We have mm-hmm. some really significant infrastructure needs, as we've discussed before, and we absolutely have a spending problem with our government. And, you know, one of my goals is to go up to Washington and work hard to balance the budget and really cut down on this excessive spending. At the same time, you know, we do have the port and we have the bridge and we have Maxwell Air Force Base, and we do have some very much needs in the district that would require funding and support. And so it's just a unique district in that respect. Also, the fact that, you know, this is outside of Montgomery and Mobile, it's primarily a rural district. You have a lot of folks that are in desperate need of a passage of a farm bill. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a little bit, you know, I think what's also interesting about this district, you know, I think that the Democrats, really the only hook that they feel that they have on Republicans right now is on the social issue front. And in this, in District 2, I would say that the Democrats are by and large a little more socially conservative than Democrats throughout the rest of the nation. You know, I think most of the Democrats in District 2 would also agree that they don't want boys and girls sports, you know, and that, you know, they are generally God-fearing, church-going Democrats mm-hmm. in District 2, which is, again, a little bit different than some of these other swing districts. And then I saw recently, I guess, I want to say the Wall Street Journal ran a poll showing that Biden polled highest with the nuns. People that don't believe in any religion. But he is polling lower with Democrats of faith, which makes sense when you name Easter Transgender Awareness Day, you know.
Right.
So it's interesting to see that. And again, I think that's another reason the only ground Democrats feel they have is on social issues, that may not be as compelling in this race.
Yeah, you know what? It's like you read my questions list here, because that was the final question. Because I was wondering, in this at play, this jump ball, this purple district, where do you make your case to people? I mean, you got to make sure your Republicans turn out, but where do you make your case to the independents or those Democrats that, like you said, when you look at the polling around, are nonplussed with their president? How do you make, you know, them when they show up, maybe they're not going to vote for Biden, but they're going to vote for you here at home? So, I mean, it sounds like, yeah, that you have a plan there with the, you know, the social issue. I think you're right. I think AL2, you compared it to any other at-play district in the country, might be the most socially conservative, probably, out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think it all boils down to security and prosperity. I mean, our country needs to be secure. Our communities need to be safer. You know, I'm calling in from Montgomery, and here in Montgomery, just in the past few months, crime has increased exponentially just within the past 5 years. The police force has decreased by about 200 officers. So, you know, and again, you know, that doesn't boil down to a heavily partisan issue. You know, we've got to secure our border. We've got to get control of the fentanyl crisis. We've got to treat our law enforcement like heroes, and then we've got to really fight and combat the regulatory state so that businesses, but especially small businesses, can thrive and prosper and be started. And that benefits all Alabamians in the 2nd Congressional District. I don't care what you consider yourself, but, you know, when the barrier to starting a business is so high due to taxes, regulation, insurance costs that have been driven high because of over regulation, then, you know, that's hurting everyone. And, you know, that's, again, I've got two daughters that I'm raising here in this district, and I'm running to fight for Alabama families, you know, wherever they are in this district and whatever they consider themselves politically, because we are only going to be able to move forward when our kids have opportunities here, not when they're leaving to go to Birmingham, Atlanta, and Nashville, because that's where the jobs are.
Caroline Dobson, AL2 Republican candidate. As we wrap up here, too, Mike asking, I was going to ask where we get more information, but he's specifically asking, where can he get your yard signs? Where can he get those, pick up yard signs for himself?
Oh, great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. So my website is Dobson for Congress, DobsonForCongress.com. And there's a field that you can send a message. So if you'll just send a message, then we can, you know, with your address, then we can send, and how many yard signs you'd like, and we can get those to you.
All right. So a lot of people will pick up on that. So go to the website for everything, and we'll get you back on the show soon. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a good afternoon.
All right. You too. Caroline Dobson, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.